Okay, we are up to Daf Mem Beis Amid Aleph, the top of the line, the Mishnah. Today's Daf is very pleasant. The Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah says, "Hamafkid pei mois etz chaveri." I gave you money to watch. The basic premise of the Mishnah is that if you're negligent, you're chayev. So what's an example of negligence? Tzairon, you bundled it in a handkerchief, v'shil machayrev, and you put it behind you. So the handkerchief's not the problem. The problem is you don't put money behind your back. Someone can grab it. Or you gave it to kids under bar mitzvah to watch. They're not trustworthy in that regard. Or you put them in a safe, but you didn't lock it. Chayiv, all of these cases are chayiv. Because you did not watch it properly. But if you watched it properly, you're potter. Okay, very simple. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Kulu. Gemara says, I understand all the cases are pshia. Shalashimik der Hashayim. El Tsarim of Shil Achayra of Mailo Mevet. What's the problem with putting the money behind your back? So the Gemara says very simply. Amar Amar Rav Yitzchok, Amar Kro, Vitzarat HaKesef Biyadcha. The Pasuk says, this is regarding Meiser, Vitzarat HaKesef, you take the bundle, Biyadcha, in your hand. You carry your money in your hand. You don't put it behind your back. You biot afal bishat tsururim, even though they're bundled up, you biadecha, they should be in your hands. If you put money behind your back, that is an act of negligence. Let's keep going. Rav Yitzchak, loyal mi kas by shalom the matzah biyadeh. A person should always have money readily available. Now, this does not mean literally in your hands. What this means is you should always have liquid cash. That way, if you tie everything up in real estate, then an investment might come up. You won't have any cash. You should always have some cash liquid. Another teaching. Rav Yitzchak gave financial advice, and that is a person should split his money three ways. Shlish bekarka, a third invested in real estate. Shlish beparmaktia, a third in merchandise stores type of endeavors. Shlish tachas yada, and third cash. That's how you should keep your money. V'am Rav Yitzchak. Now, this next Gemara is very, very famous Gemara. To understand exactly what this means, it's hard to know. Either this is Ayin Hara, Kabbalistic, Shadim. But the rule is, Ein HaBracha Metzuya, El B'davar Samanai. Bracha is only found on something that no one sees. Meaning, once something is public, the Bracha is not found. If it is, again, Ayin Hara, and if you start flaunting everything you have, the Bracha goes away. Either because Ayin Hara, Shadim, whatever the cheshbon is, but if you want bracha, keep things private. Shnemar, Yitzav Hashem Itcha es habracha basamecha. Hashem will command bracha to be with you. Yesamecha is in your private granaries, your private areas. By the way, the Gemara is going to take it further. It's not just not to flaunt it. Even once you count something, then there can't be a possibility of bracha. It's like with the, the Baba Sali famously would have a bottle of arak that would just keep flowing, flowing, flowing. It was covered. The second, literally, anyone who's there, they said, "Mom, for days, the same bottle, never got refilled." But if the cover, if it became uncovered, he'd say, "Get another bottle." So, it's just a concept. Tani debir of Yishmael, Eina bracha metzuya, but davar sheino ayin shalat esbay. Similarly, he said, bracha is only found on something that no eye sees. Shnema yitzav Hashem itchos abracha basamecha. Tara banan, ha'hari lich lamanis karayna. If you're going to measure your grain, so the concept is, again, before you measure it, it's not counted. You could daven because it could grow. It's not a miracle if no one knows how much is there. Once it's counted, then it's an open miracle. Hashem's not going to do that. So the Gemara says, before you count your grain, Omer, you could daven, Yiratzim lefanecha, Hashem elekeinu, Shetishlach bracha, Meis yedeinu. That should be bracha. And maybe it'll expand, maybe it'll double. Who knows? It's not like anyone knows how much it is anyway. There's no ayin hara, there's no open miracle. So daven to Hashem. Hashem's the same one who made the grain, he can make more grain. But his chalamud, when you begin to measure the grain, Amar Baruch Hashaleach Bracha B'chiri Hazeh. You say Baruch Hashem, that he gives bracha to this pile. Now, so Rashi explains why isn't this a bracha like Levatala. He says because you're about to take Trumas and Meisers, which is bracha. So you're thanking Hashem for the bracha that's found in here. But once... But once you already count all the grain and you daven for Hashem for it to be blessed, there is a tefillah shav. It's a wasted tefillah. Meaning, it is what it is. You know how much grain there is. You can daven for Hashem for more grain. It's a wasted tefillah. Tefillah Shav, the exact same Tefillah Shav, because it's after the fact. It's the same thing. Exactly, it's after the fact. It's a Tefillah Shav, because you're asking, the Gemara over there he's referring to is the Gemara in the last parak that says that if you hear Hatzalah going, and you say, Hashem, let them not be going to my house, it's a Tefillah Shav. They already know where they're going. You want to daven in the morning that Hatzalah shouldn't come to your house today, that's fine. But once they're already on the sirens, they know where they're going, the GPS is in, you're davening, that's too late. It's a Tefillah Shav, it's a wasted Tefillah. So the Gemara says, exactly. Lefisha eina bracha mitzir, because bracha is not found. Loi b'davar ashakol, not with something that's already weighed. Loi b'davar hamadu, not with something that's measured. Loi b'davar hamanui, not something counted. El b'davar simanayin, something that no one has seen yet. The quantity is still unknown. Shenemar, yitzav Hashem itcha es habracha basamecha. Now, Shmuel now will tell us, how should you guard money? Now, this is not just financial advice, which it is. It's very relevant lahalacha, because as a shomer, I have to know how to guard money properly. If I do something that's considered inadequate, it's a pshia. So what is the proper way? I'll give an example. I think nowadays, one would I think it would be fair, that if you put money, if someone asked me to guard money, and you put money in Chase, that's considered a good shmira. Is it possible that the whole banking system will collapse? Yes, it's possible, but that's not something I have to be concerned about. In the times of the Gemara, they didn't have banks. So what was a proper shmira for money? So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Kasav Mein Lo Shmela Bekarka, they have to be buried. The only way to properly protect money is burying it. If you don't bury it, and then something happens to it, you're Pesheya. So the Gemara is old school. Amar Rava, Umaydi Shmuel, Be'erev Shabbos Mein Hashmashas. So that means, according to Shmuel, if I give you money to watch and you don't bury it, you're Pesheya. But says Gemara, Shmuel agrees that if the money was given to you Erev Shabbos, that's fine. Erev Shabbos, we can't expect you when you're cooking and getting ready for Shabbos to start getting a shovel. So if I give you the money Erev Shabbos and you didn't bury it, and then on Shabbos you're robbed, you're not Pesheya, because the guy gave it to you with not enough time to bury it. When are you supposed to bury it? Matzei Shabbos. But says the Gemara, oh, if Matzei Shabbos comes and goes and you didn't bury it, now you're Pesheya. You're not going to have a tiny Erev Shabbos. Matzei Shabbos, you should bury it. The Gemara says, Deloyet Shechu Rabbanon. Bein HaShmoshes, by the way, not just Erev Shabbos. Bein HaShmoshes is close to Shabbos, meaning it's not just like Friday morning. I mean, he shows up to your house, you know, 10 minutes before candle lighting with a bag of cash. No one can have a tiny on you for not getting a shovel. But says the Gemara, V'yishalom Matzei Shabbos, but if Matzei Shabbos comes and goes, Shir L'mikvarah, and you have enough time to bury it, so let's say it takes an hour to bury. If an hour after Matzei Shabbos, you didn't bury it yet, and it's robbed, then you're chayiv because you're pesheya. Oh, but says the Gemara, what if the person that gave you the money is a rabbinical person? You see, it's unclear. It happens to me. If you learn Maseches Brachos, you do see that there was an evolution for requiring Havdalah to use wine. It started with wine. Then at some point, it was too expensive for people, so then people started either going to davening and just having communal havdalahs. And then eventually it went back to what we have today, which is private havdalahs. So says the Gemara, let's say you're a rabbinical student. The one who gave you the money is a Rav. So then if you didn't bury on Matzei Shabbos, there's no taina on you. Why? Because you think he's going to knock on my door asking for the money so he could buy wine for havdalah, which not everyone did. So says the Gemara. Either the reason why not everyone did it is because this was at the time in the period in Chazal where Havdalah was done just in davening and only like Chasheva people would do it over wine. There was a period of time where that happened. Or most people just do communal, they would just go to shul, but he wants to I would say a Rebbe Shazach, but that's he wants to, you know, he wants to do it over his own Hagofen. So such a thing. So if he wants, so therefore, if you don't bury it, there's no taina on you. Why? Because maybe the reason why you didn't bury it is because you expected him to knock on your door asking for the money. Says the Gemara, v'tzurba mirabononu. But if the person that gave you the money was a rav, saver dilman boile zuzel avdalta, then we don't have a taina for you not burying it because you think to yourself, maybe he's going to knock on my door asking for the money to buy havdalah wine. Fine. Now, so they would bury the proper way to deposit money was burying it. Again, money was like gold and silver. It was to bury it. Says the Gemara, things change though. Nowadays, there were robbers that they would do is they would take metal detectors. Well, their metal detectors is they would take metal sticks and they would poke the ground and they would be able to tell of where, if it was previously buried. So nowadays, burying the ground is no longer safe because people would rob people by metal detectors. So, what you have to do is you have to put it above the beams in the house. That's the only safe way to put it above the beams. But says the Gemara, that also changed. Ha'ina de shchicha promoy. Eventually, thieves started breaking roofs. They started going to your roof. It's actually clever. Instead of going into your house, the thief would go on your roof, break into the roof, and look above the beams for money. So now putting it above the beams is no longer safe either. So, Amarava umayde shmuel b'koysel. Ein la shmuel, ein la shmira, ela b'ini urbi. You have to put it between the row of bricks and the wall. Okay? Amarava umayde shmuel b'koysel. That was, Shmuel also agreed with it as well. So now the safest place is no longer the ground or above the beams. It's now in the walls. Says the Gemara, but nowadays there are people, there are robbers that they tap the walls and listen for like hollow, so that they could find the money. So it's vaiter not safe. The only safe way is within a tefach of the ground they would have crevices, or a tefach of by the beam they would have crevices, because I guess it's not underground, but it's also not above the beams. It was. No, within the house. You have to be in the house.
There would have to be a hole in the ground of the house.
By the above, yeah, right, like there. Like in the, if let's say the baseboard came off. Right there. So. Okay. Amar le Rav Acha b'reider Rav Yosef le Rav Ashi. Hasam Tana, very interesting question. It's Negel, oh, I always like it when it comes to in Yonah Diyam or Shchaydash Nisan, right? So the halacha is that for chametz and Pesach, right, you have to get rid of chametz. Now, let's say the chametz is buried. If it's buried a certain amount, then it's considered covered up. You don't have to do anything to it. How buried is it? Chametz shenof lo mapilus. Let's say you have a loaf of bread, and a wall collapsed on top of the loaf of bread. If it's collapsed enough, it's gone. We don't assume that you're going to get to it. How collapsed does it have to be? Harehu kemevur, it's as if it's already gone, you don't have to do bir chametz. How much debris needs to be on the bread for it to be considered gone? Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol she'ein hakel v'yachol chavis ha'afrav, it has to be so deep that a dog can't sniff it, which is, v'tana kama chavis ha'kel gimel tvachim, three tvachim of debris. So three tvachim of debris and it's gone. So in other words, if you were to be buried underground, if you want to bury bread to be yoitza for Pesach, you have to dig it three tefachim, which is about 9 to 12 inches, put it under the ground. That's for Pesach. The question is, we said before that the proper way to be shomer money is burying it. Do you also have to bury it three tefachim? Is that considered the proper burial, or even one tefach? Meaning, is chametz have a different halacha? So the question is, hachamai, mi bin shishol shoyt tvachim eloy. So the Gemara says, amar lei, hasam shemrecha bin gimel tvachim. Now, when it comes to chametz, the reason why I have to bury that deep is because we don't want you to smell it on Pesach. If you smell it, you might come to uncover it. It's not really anything that's buried underground is considered gone. But for chametz, we don't want you to smell it. So three tvachim is what you need. But hacha, but over here, mishum ichsu yimayna. Over here, you're just trying to protect the money from bandits. And therefore, loy ben gimel tvachim. You don't need the depth of three tvachim. V'kama, how much do you need? Amirah from misircha tefach, just one tefach. Less than a tefach, it might come, the dirt might uncover on its own. But one tefach is all you need. Okay. This is a very, very famous gemara that we've referenced a couple times in Shas. It's interesting because you think it would be like a whole daf and a half of a sugi. It's like four lines. And that is chilosai v'pshia v'saifa ba'inus. Where does it come from? It comes from this case. Hu gavra da'afkid zuzik abichavre. There was a guy who gave his friend money to watch. Aisvina v'tsrifa d'urva. He put it in a hut made of willows, made of arovas. Now, that is a very foolish thing to do because that is very, very flammable. So that is not a good idea. He basically put it in a very, very flammable thing, and fires was a legitimate concern back then. So that was a pshia. But what ended up happening to it? What ended up happening is ignav. This was a shomer chinam. What ended up happening is guys broke in and robbed. So his pshia did not directly lead to the oinus. It was a pshia that he put it in this. It was not a good safekeeping vis-a-vis the fire. But it ended up being an oinus because armed robbers came in and stole from him anyway. The question is he liable? So you say, well, if you look at the beginning of his actions, he's pesheya, so yeah. But if you look at the end of the action, the end result is that it was an onus. So it's tchiloso b'pshia v'sofa b'onus. What's the halacha? It's a machlokas. Le'inyan noira pshusahi. He started with a pshia regarding fire because he placed it in a place that's very flammable. But have a tchiloso b'pshia v'sofa b'onus chayiv. So he feels that it's chas of shia, even though it's sof ba'onis, you go by your action. Your action was pesheya, and you're chayiv. Ikadamri, but some have a different version. Aval gav de inyan nareb shuasa hilin gav mitarasi chasam shizavin is potter. Some have say no, chasam shizavin is potter. The hilchasat chasam shizavin is chayiv. You think there would be like a daf and a half, like raya is kashas. That's it. Chasam shizavin is 2 days, two different versions of what Rabbi Yosef said, and we paskin that you're chayiv. Okay, one more mice, and then I'll tell you the rest of the daf. Very interesting. Who gav the daf kid zuzi gabi chavre? A certain guy gave his friend money to watch. Omerle. Havle Zuze, he says, can I have my money back? Right. 2 days later, he says, hey, gives $100 to hold on to this. 2 days later, he says, can I have the money? I don't remember where I put it. So you know what the halacha is? Lo yadana is pshu, so he. Saying you don't know where you put it, that's a pshia. As a shayman, you have to know where you put it. If you don't know where you put it, you're pshia. So also come to Rava, Amarle, lo yadana pshu, so he's zil shlim, you're chayiv. Because not knowing where you put it is an act of negligence. Now let me explain from here until the end of the daf. There are three cases, where just three stories, and each story, it sort of happens where something happened bad, but each person on their own is probably not responsible, and it's life. Let's go through story number one. Hu gavra d'afkid zuzi gabi chavre. Okay, Reuven gives money to Shimon to watch. So Shimon, instead of watching it himself, gives it to his mother. Now, gives it to his mother to watch. Now, we did have a concept called Shomer Shemarsel Shomer is not allowed. You can't just give it, but we said within family, it is allowed. So technically, he did nothing wrong because you're allowed to give it to your family. Everyone knows that when you give something to someone, there's a very good chance that he's going to give it to his wife, to his kids, or to his parents. That's a very strong possibility. Therefore, he technically did nothing wrong. However, he did not tell his mom that it was money that he was asked to watch. He thought it was his money. So she didn't know she was a shomeres. So the Gemara says, Ignif, and it was stolen from her. Now she did not watch it super properly. But on the other hand, which is normally a pshia, but on the other hand, she didn't know that she was a shomeres. So it was an onus from her perspective. She didn't know that she had to watch. So sort of no one did anything wrong. And by the way, and the Gemara is going to explain, the reason why he didn't tell his mom that it was money to watch, you'll say, well, that's something that he did wrong. Not really, because he thought that she would do a better job watching it if she thought it was his money. So sort of, they all made cheshbonos that blew up. But each cheshbon on his own is sort of legitimate. He's allowed to give it to his mom. Shomer Shemasel Shomer is allowed when it's a family. He didn't tell her that it was someone else's money because she thought... He thought that she would like guard it better if it was family money. She didn't know that she was a shemeres, so she didn't put like a big lock on it. And okay, Lemaisa, the only one who got messed up was the original Reuven, the original guy, but that's life. So says the Gemara. Amar Rava, Heichin Adinu Dainu Lahidinu. Rava said, who are we supposed to say is chayv? Let's go through each of the parties. Again, Reuven gives it to Shimon. Shimon gives it to his mom. Let's go to Shimon. Neimalei ledidei zil shlim. We should say to Shimon, why are you giving it to someone else? Shemesh masel shemesh chayiv. Go to the next page. Amar kol ha-mafkid al das ishto yubarevu mafkid. You're allowed to give it to your family member. So he did nothing wrong. Now, she also did nothing wrong. Neimalei le'ime zil shlim. So say to the mother, you didn't watch it properly. Amar lo amar li delav di dininu. She says, I didn't know that it wasn't my kids. I didn't know I was a shomer. Zionist. So you say, well, now the kid, why didn't you tell your mom that it was money that she should guard? So, Amra, she said, so name alay, am I loy amrle? So we tell the son, why didn't you tell your mom that it was someone else's money to guard? Omar, he said, I thought that she would watch it better if she knew that it was my money. It's a good cheshbon. All of these are good cheshbonos. And you know what happens in life? Sometimes it happens. Elo amarava, mishtava iudahani zuzi shlimin leme. Let the shomer swear that he gave the money to the mom, because we obviously can't go on his words. He has to swear under oath that he gave the money to the mom. Mishtava iudahani zuzi shlimin bekaritel v'ingnif. She'll swear that the money that was stolen was the money that was given to her. Potter. And potter. That's story number one. Story number two. Story number two is, I have a problem with it. There's a one nakuda that I'm confused by, but I'm probably not going to mention it. We'll just see if anyone will get it. I'm probably missing some nakuda of it, but okay. Hau apotropis diasme, tizavon latur diasme, umasul avakra. Okay. Reuven is the trustee for orphans. He takes their money and he buys a cow. Gives the cow to a herdsman to watch. So far, everything is legitimate. Turns out, though, this cow did not have molars.
What?
Didn't have teeth.
Couldn't feed itself.
Couldn't eat. It died. Now, so who's at fault here? So, lo yehava lekachi v'shin l'eichel, umis. It died of starvation. So, there's two parties here. The orphans are kids. They have no idea. Reuven is the trustee for the orphan. He bought it, gave it to a herdsman to watch. So, let's go to that guy. Let's go to Reuven first. So, Amar Rav Chama, heichin ed nana endina. Name la apotrop is zilshlem. So, let's go to the Reuven, who is the trustee, and say, why would you buy... why would you not feed this animal? So Omar anola vakra misarte. He said, I gave it to a herdsman, which is legitimate. I gave it to him to feed every day, which is a legitimate solution. Okay. Now, by the way, why didn't he check when he bought it? We'll get to that. But he says, so why didn't you feed the animal? He says, well, it wasn't my responsibility to feed it. I gave it to a dog sitter, a horse sitter to feed. So, name of acquisition. So they go to the herdsman and they say, why didn't you feed the animal? He says, Omar, anobahadi turiya kminta. He says, I put the ox, this is an ox, not a horse. I put the ox with the other oxen. Ochlo v'shadoyle. I threw food into the pen. Lo yav yadina d'loyocha. How am I supposed to know whether he eats or not? They don't sit and watch. They just fill up the things with food and the animals naturally eat. So I didn't do anything wrong. Herdsman's not at fault. So now we go back to the guy, the buyer, apotropis guy, and we say, Michti, b'krosha mersacha diyasmiu, ibalune. I understand, you're a shay mersacha, you're a paid trustee. You should check the animal when you buy it. That's on you. Okay, it's a taina.
Why should check it?
Normally you are right. The Pnei Yeshua does say that I don't know, it was the Pnei Yeshua, the Rashba. It was the Rashba that he does say that buying an animal, an oxen without teeth, is an abnormal thing. Mm-hmm. But because he's a Shomer Sachar, we expect him to have a higher caliber, and therefore he should have checked himself. To that, the Gemara says, "Ikup say that the Yasmi Hachanami." The Gemara says, "You know what? If the Yisayim actually would have lost money on this case, I would agree with you. But here's what ended up happening. Okay, Reuven is a trustee for the Yisomim. He has $1,000." He goes to John, buys an ox, no teeth, gives it to the herdsman. Herdsman feeds it, it dies. What ended up happening is the orphans went to John and said, you sold us an ox with no teeth. It's called a mekachtos. We like our money back. So he actually gave them the money back. So now the only one who is messed up is John. So the Gemara says, we don't have a taina on the trustee because the orphans got their money back. So the only one who's messed up is John. Because they went to the owner and they went to Bez Din, gave them the money back because they bought it under, it was a mekachtois. You can't sell an ox without telling people it doesn't have teeth. So the only one who's messed up on this is John. So the Gemara says, oh, Elaman Katon. So who is demanding money over here? It's Mari Datura Katon. It's John. John wants his money back. So Gemara says, well, why would John get his money? He says, so John says to the buyer, you should have told me when you bought the animal that it had no teeth. So Gemara says, you're the owner. What do you mean? Man Modile, made the other mekachtois. You're the owner. You should know. So the Gemara says, Bisafsira, the Zavin Mehachu Mazbin Lahacha. I get it now. The case is, this John is a middleman. Basically like this. You have the original owners, wherever. John is a broker. He buys and sells. He buys in lots. He buys 50 oxen, sells 50 oxen. One of those oxen happened to not have teeth. He didn't know. He's not examining. He's not his animals. He's just buying and selling. He sells it to Reuven. Reuven gives it to the herdsman. The herdsman feeds it, the animal dies. They go to the herdsman, he says, I fed it. No, you're removed. They go to Reuven, Reuven says, I gave it to the herdsman. Yeah, but why didn't you check? So he says, okay, but the truth is, the Yisayim got their money back from John anyway. Mm-hmm. But John now says, you should have told me, because what ended up happening is like this. John gave the animal January 1st, and then it was gone. And then the animal, it went, and then a week later, it died. 2 weeks after that, the Yisraelim knock on John's door and say, you sold us an animal with no teeth. He says, okay, here's the money. Where's the animal? It's dead. So he says, well, call the guy over. He calls the guy over and he says, you should have told me that the animal I sold to you had no teeth. So that's a taina. It's somewhat of a taina. Again, he can't get the animal back because this is all happening afterwards. He sold the animal died. The Yisraelim want their money back. They take a picture of the animal with no teeth. He says, okay, I probably shouldn't have sold you that. Fine. Here's your money back. Refund. But now he says, where's my animal? The animal's dead. He says, well, who is in charge of it? Reuven. He calls Evan Reuven and he says, why didn't you tell me that I had no teeth? He says, aren't you the owner? He says, I'm a broker. How am I supposed to know? So Gemara says, it is a somewhat of a taina. And the Gemara gives a very interesting response. Rather, so the Gemara says, Hilkach mishtava'iu deloy havayada. The owner swears that he didn't know that the ox didn't have teeth. U'mishalim bakra demei baser bezol. It's a very interesting psak. The herdsman, not Reuven, the one who was in charge of feeding him, pays for the value of the ox meat when it was sold at a reduced price of 2/3 of the market value. Now, this is a very interesting thing. One second. Now, I'm sorry. I made one mistake when I said over the story. The herdsman was the one. I made a mistake. When I said before that they had a titan, there's Reuven who bought the animal and then gave it to the herdsman. So he said that the herdsman, he did nothing wrong because he fed it. We went back to Reuven and he said, I gave it to a herdsman. So the Gemara says we had a titan, not a Reuven, a titan on the herdsman. At the end of the herdsman is a paid watchman, not the Reuven. I made a mistake. So they went, exactly. So he's a professional. He should have checked. So the Gemara says, that's a good taina, but the Yisraelim already got their money back. Comes John and he says to the herdsman, you should have told me that the animal that I sold to Reuven that you were in charge of had no teeth. To that he says, fine, I'll give you the value of the animal, but a much reduced price of 1/3 of the market value. And that's the halacha. Rashi has a whole arichas trying to figure out where is this like compromise of 1/3 of the animal come from, but that's the halacha.
Not a baby ox, not a calf. So at some point,
maybe right before it was sold, it got into a fight and knocked its teeth out. One last story, a similar type story. Hahu gaver da'afkid kashusa gabi chavre. Okay, I give Gavin hops, which is obviously one of the ingredients for beer. I give him hops to watch.
See, I think in this one, because they were dealing with the Yisomen, and the Yisomen got paid off.
Yeah.
There were no Yisomen involved. Was another person. The guy had just sold it.
Well, I mean,
to you, and you gave it to the.
Well, he got his money back. I'm saying he got his money back. So that you have to. The only one that has that's the loss is the original owner. The Gemara says, "Ahu gaver da'afki kashusa gabi chavre." So a person got. So I gave Gavin hops to watch. Now, havaleli did nami kari kashusa. Now the thing is that Gavin put it in his backyard, and in his backyard he had his own hops, and he put mine next to his. Here's the thing. You can already see where it's going. Gavin is making beer, tells his brewer, good beer. He tells the brewer, do me a favor, go get hops from the backyard, thinking he's going to take Gavin's, because that's what Gavin's is. The brewer takes mine, which is obviously not allowed. So the question is, who is Chayiv? So the Gemara says, so the brewer takes Gavin, takes mine instead of Gavin's, which is obviously an act of theft. So the question is, who is responsible? Now, by the way, the Gemara is going to ask, why is there responsible? Just give me the beer. So the Gemara is going to say, the beer soured. So there's a loss. So my hops are gone, and there's no beer to give me. It's not like, if the beer was good, then I would just say, okay, I don't get hops, then give me the beer.
They just give you more hops.
Yeah, no, the question is, who's responsible? So the Gemara says, Amrav Amram, Heichin Edan Aydina, Namele the Didei Zil Shlim. Now, if we go to Gavin and say, well, where's my hops? He'll say, Omar, I know Omri Lemhai Rami. He says, I told the brewer to take mine. I didn't tell him to take yours. Meaning, what ended up happening is, mine was in pile A, Gavin's was in pile B. Gavin says, go to pile B and take some hops. The guy ended up taking from pile A. So Gavin's not responsible because he told the brewer to take his hops, not mine. So we go to the brewer. So go to the brewer. Why'd you take the wrong hops? The brewer says, he said take from B. He didn't say don't take from A, meaning I didn't realize that he was being specific. I thought he was just saying take from pile B, but you could also take from pile A. He never said take from pile B and don't take from pile A. I didn't realize, I thought he was giving more of an example. I did not realize that the other pile didn't belong to Gavin. And therefore, the brewer also is not responsible. He's also like an onus. So that the, yeah?
No, where are, he's in the brewer's space?
Your backyard. In my your backyard.
Oh, it's my backyard.
Yeah. So the Gemara now says, one quick point. If mine, it's Pashut. The case has to be where mine is next to yours. Because if mine is, let's say, a block away, then by the time he goes and he comes back and it's been a block, you should know that he has mine and you should stop him. So the Gemara says, well, if it took longer to get it, doesn't that mean that he's getting mine and that you should have stopped him? The answer is, but the case is that he's next to each other. And therefore, there was no way for you to know. So what's the halacha? Now, the Gemara says, before we address what the halacha is, the Gemara just wants to know, why is there a law? So give me the beer. You use my hops to make beer, give me the beer. So saif, my psida, kamishtar shalei. You gained from it. It was now made into beer, so give me the beer. The answer is, amr av sambar edirava dahava shikha chala. The beer became vinegar. The beer soured. It wasn't a good batch. Or, ravashim vikise. The case was that the hops that I gave were full of thorns, which means the beer never really made it. And the Gemara says, mishalm d'mekise. Therefore, Gavin has to pay me the value of inferior hops that are mixed with thorns. That's the basic halacha. I will stop here.